May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We meet Jesus today in an extraordinarily human moment. Extraordinary only because of how ordinary it is, how very human Jesus seems, given our assumptions about how the Son of God should behave. Today, Jesus is tired. He's worn out. He's seeking a bit of downtime, time away from his followers and away from the crowd's unending needs, time away from the noise and clamor and expectation that come along with his newfound fame. I wonder whose house Jesus walked into that day. Maybe it was the house of a trusted confidant and friend, someone who could be relied upon to be discreet. Maybe this friend invited him in through the back door, closed the blinds, lied to his neighbor about feeling sick so that he wouldn't be disturbed. Maybe this friend, instead of seeing this as his golden opportunity for face-to-face time with the most sought-after speaker in town, maybe simply let Jesus be. Silence can be a sweet comfort sometimes, especially if your life is full of anything but silence. And into this moment, into the sacred restful time, came a new demand. Another person interrupts Jesus' silence, seeks his undivided attention. Maybe this woman knocked on the front door politely at first. Maybe they hid inside the house, pretending no one was home. And so maybe she stuck around, walked around the house calling his name, letting them know that she was on to their ruse. Maybe she made herself a nuisance on the street, embarrassing the host and neighbors so that she couldn't be ignored. This woman had nothing to lose. She was an outsider not once, not twice, but three times over. A woman unaccompanied by a husband or a male relative seeking out a strange man, not acceptable in that day and time. A Syrophoenician woman in Jewish territory, an ancient rival of the people of Israel. And finally, a woman whose child was possessed by a demon, a woman who had likely been ostracized by her own people for that as well. This woman had nothing to lose. She was desperate. And so Jesus finally opens the door. And to her humble request for healing, the umpteenth request in so many weeks and months on the road, after sun-baked days and endless fireside talks late into the night, Jesus responds, not with a polite dismissal even, but with an insult. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. To be called, to be compared to a dog by anybody, much more if it was Jesus calling you that, that's a horrible thing. Now, before I continue, let me just say that there are several ways to interpret this story. Some say that Jesus acted this way as a lesson to his followers, a lesson where he is both protagonist and foil, teaching his disciples by acting out the wrong way, the worst way to go about God's business, a lesson on how not to welcome someone into the kingdom of God. That's a bit of a stretch, if you don't mind me saying that. Some say that he was testing the Syrophoenician woman, giving her a chance to prove her faith in earnest. After all, plenty of people sought Jesus out for miracles. Few people stuck around for the message. Still others say that maybe this is just a vestige of Jesus' humanity, that Jesus, the divine and the human living within him, still had the limitations of his day and age, the prejudices of his people, place, and kin. Jesus, in this last interpretation, learns something here, shows us that in his body, he has joined God's self so closely to ours that he is limited and vulnerable sometimes, just as we are, vulnerable even to our worst instincts, the things that divide us from them, whoever the they may be. Which one of these is the right interpretation, you might be wondering? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know if any of us would really know even if we had been there. Sometimes, you see, we're tempted to explain away difficult passages in Scripture. We want to smooth out the frayed edges of the narrative, downplay miracles because that simply couldn't have happened from our modern point of view, assign simple motives to complex characters whom we've never even met. And I prefer not to do that, friends. I think a Scripture is here so that we learn to ask good questions, not so that we find easy answers. And in this story, my friends, Jesus, whether on purpose or not, I don't know, this Jesus shows us how difficult it is to break the mold when it comes to our daily decisions about who is worth our time and who isn't. Jesus shows us that the true testing ground of our moral character isn't how we treat people when we are dressed in our Sunday best, but whether we treat them with respect when they look their worst. And this Syrophoenician woman shows us in living color what love looks like when you are willing to bear ridicule for the sake of another, when you are willing to persist in the face of resistance, when you are willing to see people as something more than a nuisance or problem. The truth is, friends, that living and walking the way of Jesus isn't about always having the right answers. It's about being willing to grow and to learn, letting our lives be like the body of Christ, vulnerable but never defeated, broken but made ever new, open, broken open, each and every day to new life alongside brothers and sisters whom you didn't know yesterday, as new people are added to your number day by day. You know, we have a sign right outside our front doors that say, "All are welcome." And every day that I walk through those doors, I look up at that sign, and I am grateful. Not simply because that's who we are, that's what the Episcopal Church is, but because it is also a word about who we aspire to be. It is a challenge, urging us ever forward to more truly embody what that means. Are you ready for that kind of life, my friends? Then show up. Stick around. Get involved. See what new things God has in store for you and I right here in our backyard. I promise that it will be well worth your time. Amen.